Now, I think Nick Smith is there joining us. It's bouncing around a little bit. It's his UK number, and he's here in Australia from, of course, Royal Ascot. Nick, how's the trip been down under this time?
Yeah, I think it's been a good trip. There's a lot of interest this year, and not just amongst the sprinting category. It's particularly exciting that Jamaica is a possible to come over this summer.
Yeah, that came as a surprise when I spoke to you on the weekend. So you got some really good feeling from the owners there on Saturday at Flemington.
Much more so from Kieran himself and his team in the stable. But I know that that's reflected by the owners, because obviously a trip like this has to be owner-led, because they're effectively looking to take the horse out of the Australian program whenever they decide that might be, whether that's at the end of the Melbourne Autumn or the Sydney Autumn. But they're looking for a prep race at Royal Ascot, so not necessarily a target race. And then the big shot would be in the King George in July, the mile and a half weight for age group one, pretty much Europe's premier race of that nature in the summer period before the arc in our autumn. And there'll be one or two other alternatives in there too. I mean, they've got the option for things like the Yorkshire Oaks and the Prix de May, which are limited to fillies. So, they seem very keen to do this. They want to do something different. From our point of view, absolutely fine. We'll make that happen for them and give them the warmest welcome we can.
If there was a lead-up race at Ascot before the King George, how far is that before that royal meeting?
It's 4 weeks. It's 4 weeks, which is ideal in our time and our terms, but perhaps a little bit too long in your terms. But I think that they will be looking at three options there. They've got the Queen Anne, the Mile Group One. They've got the Duke of Cambridge Stakes, which is a Mile Group Two fillies and mares. And they've got four options. They've got the Prince of Wales Stakes over a mile, two furlongs, and the Hardwick Stakes over the course and distance of the King George. Although it's probably unlikely, the way Australian horses are trained, that the Hardwick over the course and distance would be regarded as ideal leading into stepping up to that trip. So, I mean, I suppose favourite would probably be the Prince of Wales Stakes, because, you know, there's no reason why she couldn't get in the frame there and be competitive. So why not roll the dice with the big one, eh?
It is new to us, though, because we're normally sending sprinters, aren't we, Australia?
Well, yes, and hopefully that won't be changing either. There's tremendous interest from the connections of Speed and Flying Artie. I think Speed's case speaks for itself. I spent some time yesterday with Johnny Murray and with Bryce Hayes, and they're very, very keen to look at Royal Ascot as an option for after the autumn season here. As I say, Flying Artie, as far as I'm concerned, almost the way the race panned out for him in the Lightning Stakes on Saturday was probably better for his chance of going to Royal Ascot than finishing third, because that might have exposed him as where he is. Whereas, of course, that race for him is a massive, great stick line through back to the drawing board, because everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. So you don't worry about that. Move on from there. And then you've got the likes of Star Turn, who was in that race too, which there is some peripheral outside interest. I wouldn't say that that's in the bag or even close to it, but I'm having conversations there. And of course, the horse is probably likely the highest profile traveller that we've probably ever had from Australia since Brazil. Since Black Caviar would be Global Glamour with Gay leading a band of 40 high profile, enthusiastic global racing ladies. Just imagine the photo of that on the front page of the Racing Post.
It would be. It'd be fantastic. Did you get a good feel from Gay or the owners there?
Yeah, absolutely. And several of the owners. They seem to be very, very, very keen to make that happen. And they've been talking about it for a little while. I spoke to them in the spring about it, actually. I know a couple of the owners pretty well anyway, because a few of them are based or have some interest in the UK and Ireland.
Yep.
And obviously Gay wants to have a Royal Ascot winner. It's no secret, and deserves to have a Royal Ascot winner. And I can't think of anything more newsworthy or more, you know, that would hit the racing and news media more than Gay having a winner. And I think that they are taking it very seriously here. And and they're building towards a plan that could lead there. And they have several options, of course, Royal Ascot, but let's hope it comes to fruition, because, you know, one of my personal aspirations, you know, that I've always wanted to see happen, as well as finally getting a Japanese horse to pass the line in front, which has been another story, but would be to have Gay win a race at Royal Ascot.
Yep, she'd be dancing up and down that straight, no doubt about that. They wouldn't. They'd be saying, "Who in the hell? What's this all about?" But it would be absolutely fantastic. Well, we'll follow these through the Melbourne Autumn into the Sydney Autumn and the Championships, but a good feel there, particularly from Jamaica going forward, maybe in the King George. Hey, Nick, thanks for your time. We'll stay in contact.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'll speak to you soon.
Good on you, Nick. Thanks, mate. Nick Smith.